G'day.
It is really good to be here. And as Andrew mentioned, after living here the last few years with the cricket, and the rugby and other things, it's really nice to have some good news from our side. Anyway, I'm really looking forward to this moment to speak to you. I really feel I've got something that God wants us to learn and grow together. I had a really great time with the 8 o'clock service this morning. I didn't get them up dancing or anything, but it was really special. I think for older people, often it's true, isn't it, that they remembered a time growing up where there was real community. Do you remember, some of you older, I remember growing up in a small country town in Australia. You Brits have exported lots of things, including Guy Fawkes Night. We used to have Guy Fawkes Night, and the whole street would come for this bonfire, and we'd have cricket games, we'd have billy carts. You probably don't know what a billy cart is. We, you know, just all these boys, we'd make these go-karts out of wood crates, wood boxes, and it was like, I don't remember sometimes going home all day. There was just things that we did. And at one level, I didn't like that in the town I was always Oliver Woods' son, Marty. But it was sort of nice at one level that you felt secure. We've lost that sense of community, haven't we? You know, where people felt free to just enjoy each other. If people needed vegetables or if you had extra vegetables, you just share them with your neighbours. But I read a survey that said 30% of English people don't even know their next door neighbour. So I think there's a hunger for community. And I think we of all people have this incredible good news. And part of what God longs for us, he made us to live in community with each other. And the other really special moment was one of the ladies in the church just shared something very real in church this morning. And it was like my heart broke and others did too. And it made me think that community is when I'm alive in the hearts and minds of someone else. Isn't it lovely when you're known? Isn't it great when someone knows what life is like for you on the inside? It makes your world different. It's somehow, you're not alone. This is how God's made us. And this is what our life together should be. Now, please, I'm not asking everybody to tell their deepest, darkest secret. No. But I'm asking that each of us learns to share our lives together. Because as we prepare to go out into the community, do you know what it'll be? It'll be the life amongst us. As we get on with each other, as we're friends together, we're going to be doing mission together. And the life of the fellowship, of our friendship. Some of you people are so friendly. There's a certain doctor in this room who's been giving me a hard time all morning since I've caught up with him. Don't look at anyone particular, but there's something. There's something in the way he stirs you and mucks around. I feel like I've known him all my life. He does give Australians a really hard time, I got to tell you. But you know what I mean? Like there's some, and what I love, it's about, he's him. You know, and the beauty about what I want to share today, I just want to say to each of you, all I'm asking you to do is to be you. Do you think you could do that? I was telling the other group that my mum, during the 60s, I've just been reliving my past. We were at Liverpool last weekend at the Wirral for a training day and we went to the Beatles Museum the next day. Ta-da! I loved the Beatles growing up. And I remember my mum, she really loved the Beatles too. And it was a bit embarrassing. Mum, you're a bit too old. But she bought a miniskirt. Do you remember miniskirts? My mum was 40 and she wore this miniskirt and my sister and I were so embarrassed. Do you remember when your mum did things that, you know, I think, come on, mum. Stop stirring your mother there, I see. But what happened was I can remember thinking, Mum, that's not you. It's a bit like if I was to get tattoos and earrings and start going, yo, bro, people would go, how embarrassing. Do you know, in Australia we call them tryhards. Do you know what I mean? Someone trying too hard and they're not themselves. You see, what this is about is you just have to be you. And I think you can do that, can't you? You know, when you can just relax and be you. We're not, and this is why I love the title of this course. Get up and walk across the room. But that's a great image that someone got this morning. You know, there's these feet. But we've got to act. It's in the very doing that you'll discover more of who you are. If you just all the time, God, help me to be who I am, and you're not out there, how do you discover it? It's in relationships with each other and in our life together. And as you have fun as a church and you celebrate and enjoy life together, that prepares you to go and do mission together. And people, you wait, they'll say, what are you people on? How come you're so friendly? What is this? And because at our festivals and everything we do everything for free. Again, we just try to break down every picture that people have of what the church is like. And you know, at our church, we do festivals quite often. And there was one lady at our church, I thought she was really quite, you know, conservative. But she put on a wig and a clown suit. Viv, she was out there just having the time of her life. She was so alive. It was like I saw another person. Now, please, I'm not asking you. I'm not going to give Andrew a pink wig or a yellow one or whatever. But I am saying, what is it that we can do as together we move out, we leave the building? And that's what we were doing yesterday. And at this training day, and in a moment I'm going to ask maybe a few people to just to share a little bit about what it was for them. But what we're trying to do, my role in Hope, is just to share different ideas. We, in a moment, you'll see it in a video, we're going to be, it looks as if we'll be working in 5,000 communities across the UK this year. That's unbelievable. In 2008, we're in 1,500. But you see, you know, sometimes, you know, fish, you don't talk to a fish about water because that's all they know. You know, well, sometimes I think here, you just don't realise the level of unity that is here in this country. I go to so many nations around the world in my role, and there's not unity. Now, sometimes you can see what isn't happening, but it is so encouraging what God is doing in this nation. And our job with Hope and in my role with Fusion Youth and Community is to try to help the churches more to work together. We want to create models that we can spread all around Europe of the church coming together and God blessing it. And I want to tell you, in Croydon where we live, I can't believe it. It's the biggest borough in London, 400,000 people. We've split it up into 14 areas. We're running 14 festivals with messy churches. We're doing World War One. We're doing this incredible things together. And the level of unity, and God is blessing it. Our church, the last 2 years, has grown by a third. We've hit 400 people. And you know why? We did a festival. And then the next day, we closed our church, invited the other churches of West Croydon. We did a messy church. We had a free lunch in this estate with 1,000 people where the riots began in Croydon. And people just came and they loved it. We get 100 to messy church. And now we've started a service in the afternoon to connect them. And 400 people. It's unbelievable. My pastor's actually going to be on the video, you see. I'm passionate about this because I know it works. And I think God will honour you as you step out and have a go. But if we're just always talking about that we should be in the community and we should be doing things, God longs for us. That's where he wants us to be. How will people know if we don't meet them? If we don't get to know them? If they don't get to know us? So here's our opportunity for 2014. So what I want to do is, this is the moment, I'm going to show a video that we've just produced. And what we've done is to show, here's five ways that you this year can be part of seeing your, being the church at the centre of community. Thanks. Yeah, go for it. I think as you look at community, you recognise that people feel lonely, they feel isolated, it feels fragmented. So what we can do, which is an amazing thing that the church has, is we do community. We often do it for ourselves. What we need to do is take what God has given us in creating community and put it out into the community.
spent many years as a youth pastor dragging young people into the mission field. And my passion has always been to flip that on its head and see young people dragging us as their youth leaders, as their churches, as their friends into the mission field, looking to bring change in the communities around them. Hope Revolution is working with partners up and down the country to see how we can see young people at the very heart of mission as part of 2014. The Big Weekender on the 3rd to the 5th of May is an opportunity for young people up and down the country to review, to dream and to plan mission initiatives that impact their communities for Jesus. It's an opportunity for them to be encouraged and supported, to dare to be creative, to dare to stand up for Jesus and to bring change in the world around them.
I think it was about 2.5 years ago, I had a moment where I began to think about what impact had I actually had on the community, on the land, on the neighbourhood where I live. I think the street party got us started. We needed something that would give us the opportunity to get people's names and meet in a non-pressured kind of environment. Also, from that street party, we began to be able to hear a few people's personal stories. That's been a key thing, is just beginning to hear some of our neighbours' stories, which honestly I couldn't have said before that I did have, because I didn't even know them.
We ran our first festival in 2012. It took some encouragement for people in the church to really get behind it. They were scared. They didn't know what it looked like. They thought they couldn't do it. We gently had to lead them by the hand and say, you can flip burgers. You can make friendship bracelets. You can do this. The transformation in our church was incredible. Suddenly, we did that event the very first night. They came back to the church for a party and said, wow, we can do this. The result? People have started coming along to our church services. More importantly, they've been coming along to our messy church. We have that once a month in the park, a kind of mini festival based around a Bible theme. So the result has been good. There's a long way to go. 2012, great year, Jubilee Festival. 2013, we continued that. 2014, even bigger.
Messy church is a way of being church for families to come to together. And it's for people who don't usually come to church. You can just do what the people who are coming for the first time need. I think one of my favourite stories about Messy Church was a mum who was going through a really rough time. She just came in and stood in the middle of the chaos, the noise, the bubble, the colour, and she just said, this place, it's like an oasis. And it was something about the church being a safe place, a place of refreshment for that mum at a time in her life where she really, really needed an oasis. And that's what church should be. If you want to get involved in Messy Church, just email us at the messychurch.org.uk website.
I spent 23 years in the Royal Air Force. I served during the Falklands War, during the First Gulf War, flew during the Cold War. 2014 has got an awful lot of big events going on, really. For me, one of the most interesting things is the fact that it's the 100th anniversary of the beginning of World War I. We're trying really hard to get schools, communities, local council, churches together this year to, on Remembrance Day, to come together outside in our community and have a short service of remembrance and to be the catalyst for that. Particularly this year, as this Christmas coming will be the 100th anniversary of Silent Night being sung in No Man's Land and the famous football match. We want to be able to mark that at football grounds. We want to be able to mark it across the country so that Silent Night is sung meaningfully and with memories of 100 years ago when that was a moment of peace, and to feel that as a community we have done something significant at the 100th anniversary of the start of the First World War.
So the dream is 5,000 areas of the country doing something. What does it look like? Well, some churches getting together, praying, and then thinking, there's a moment, maybe it's around the war, maybe it's around a festival, maybe it's around Easter, maybe it's around harvest. We just say, let's work together, let's bless our community, and you could mobilise 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 people, 200 people, do something in your community this year and see what God will do to create more as you go forward.
So there you go. come on, we got to do it. Here's a moment. Here's an opportunity. And so yesterday, what we did, it was about 130 people there, I think, and we shared all these ideas and a few others, and I just thought it'd be really nice. I don't know, I haven't set this up, but if just a couple of people that came could just say, so you could hear how they found the day, what God said to them. So is it possible, one or two of you that were there, to come and just share? Good on you. Come on up.
It's absolutely fantastic day. I don't know if you remember Connect in the afternoon, the Sunday. Some of us were there for that, and Annie was there, and Marty, and we did this amazing fun day and all the games. So I thought, oh, I'd love to know how you do that. So it was great to go along to these three workshops and to learn actually how we organise a community fun day and all the games and everything as well. So we were led sort of step by step. So it's something, you know, not so daunting and something that we can actually do ourselves here at All Saints. So, you know, it was really inspiring.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Go ahead. Oh, give a hand there.
Yeah, it was a real eye-opener yesterday. I had a real revelation about community and drawing people in and how it works. And I was just sitting there earlier thinking that we often say before communion that God's love compels us to come in. And if we show God's love by doing something on the lawn out there, which is open to everybody, and we do it out of the goodness of our hearts, out of love, it's a completely, as you said earlier, a completely free event. We're giving our time, we're giving our money perhaps towards it, but we're doing it because God's love compels people to come in. It will draw people and it will give them a significance. Can somebody give me John 10:10? So I didn't bring my glasses up.
Yeah, use mine, mate.
Use yours. John 10. It says that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And people need to have life to the full. Amen. And it gives them significance if they can get involved in some sort of event that draws them in. And so that's what I'm doing.
Great. Good on you, mate. Thank you very much. Okay. So it really, like, I think what people are seeing is we can do this. And so what I want to celebrate is, as a church, you've got some great opportunities coming up. Certainly, we're looking, there's a car wash and some things coming up, but also the festival out here. You know, I think if you do this well, I remember a festival at Isle of Dogs that we did for the Olympics, and they said, oh, we might get 400. I said, oh, you're easily going to get 1,000. And they go, no, they got 4,000. Now, please, I'm not trying to scare you. That's what you get. But I'm simply saying, you know, that you say, oh, it'd be nice if 100 came. No, come on, invite the community. This is a great place to live, isn't it? And you want to invite the community to get to know them. So think, you know what I want to challenge you is door knock your street and invite everyone. Don't you think sometimes you wonder, how can I share my faith with people in the street? Well, pray for them and knock on the door and invite them. And you wait, they'll come to your festival and they'll say, if you're doing anything else, tell us about it, because we'd like to know if it was anything like this. And then as well, there's, but certainly at Christmas, probably with World War I, there'll be some things that you'll think over what you can do, but certainly at Christmas with the Silent Night. I mean, it's just, we are seeing so much favour, the ideas that we're doing. We've been talking with Decca Records, and they are really up for this. We're released, they're going to get the Military Wives Choir under Gareth Malone to do a version of Silent Night with a German bit to tell the story again of what happened, as you heard, in No Man's Land in 1914. And we're looking at, I think it's the 8th of December, that Gareth Malone probably will be on BBC conducting the choir, and will be live broadcasts all around the country. We're trying to get every football stadium in the country, the churches, to put on carols, the silent night carols, on sometime in those early December for the football clubs. I just get so excited because that's where we need to be. That's where the community is. That's what we have to. Now you're saying, well, we don't have a stadium here, but what can you do? Well, you've got a big thing where you close the main street. What can you do there? How can you do silent night? Think creatively. Think together. Dream about what this year can be like. And it's just the start of what God wants to do. Okay, part one of the sermon. Okay, part two, we want to look at the passage that we've just been exploring. And it really is this, the wristband, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Here's the model, here's the way. Let me just frame this before we just look at three different sections. And I'm conscious of time. I'll try not to talk. Kim, you don't have to leave. Sorry. nobody will want to leave now. Oh dear. I'm watching. So this whole thing, what we're talking about, is two types. The technical term is social capital. Social capital is the glue, where the vibe, the feeling of the community that you experience. You know if it's there, where people somehow appreciate, get to know each other. The technical term, as I said, social capital, and I read a book on it once, and it's about reciprocity. You know, you ask someone for dinner, they ask you for dinner. And one definition was, I'm not going to your funeral if you don't come to mine. I thought that was a bit interesting. But it's reciprocity is an important part. And social capital is fascinating. There's two. There's bonding social capital, which is what you see in families and in churches, and that's important. Although the extreme of that is when, that's what happened in former Yugoslavia, the Serbs against the Bosnians, the Croats, and the fighting that can happen. But there's bonding, but there's bridging social capital. And this is what the story is today about. Bridging social capital is when I leave the security of what I know and reach out. The most ultimate example is the incarnation. That Jesus left heaven to bridge to us. How unbelievable. Another incredible story is the story of the Good Samaritan. The Samaritan cared for that Jewish man. The others should have cared for him. But he left his preconceived ideas and he cared. And today, this beautiful story of how Jesus, I really want us to try to understand. The Jews disliked the Samaritans so much that if they were up the top at Caesarea Philippi and they wanted to come to Jerusalem, you know what they'd do? They'd actually walk almost 100 miles out of the way to avoid Samaria. That's how strongly they felt. So here was a moment. Jesus, the disciples had gone off to buy food. Okay? Jesus probably needing a bit of space. All of a sudden, he sees this woman. Now, not only was it unusual to speak to a Samaritan, it wasn't a cultural thing for a man to speak like this to a woman. Unfortunately, women weren't seen very highly in those days. But more significantly, this woman was out in the middle of the day. That in itself made her a very questionable person. So, what does Jesus do? It's an amazing moment. What's the first thing? Bible quiz here, you can remember. What's the first thing he does when he sees her? What does he ask? Isn't that fascinating? He asks for a drink of water. Now you think, what? What's that about? Two words I just want to very quickly introduce you to. Content and process. Content is the words that you say. Hello, how are you? Imagine if you got paid 5p for every time you heard that said across England today. Hiya, or whatever, how you say it. It's part of that initial bridge that you make. But behind the words is a process. And that's what people pick up. Here, can I just do a little thing? Can you stand up here for a moment? You tell me, I'm going to say the same words, but tell me what you see at a process. Hi, how are you? Okay. Hey, Hey, hi, how you going?
I'm good.
Oh, good. Okay, great. Now, same words. What was different? What could you see? The eye contact. Isn't that interesting? So body language. Yeah, what else? I can't say, but I didn't say I care. What did, how did you pick up the care? You're right, or I hope you're right, you know. What? Isn't that fascinating? I didn't say I care for you, but yet you could see that I cared. Now, what I find so fascinating about that, so you're right, you picked it up. Jesus doesn't say, hello, I'm the Messiah. What would she have thought? It's a bit like, hello, how are you? How do you get on with your mother? You know, it's not the question that you ask. Do you know what I mean? Do you hear what I'm saying? That somehow, in that moment, when you are building a bridge, you know, look, you look at it. Hi, how are you? Good, thanks. Now, here in England, what's the next question? Or the next thing you do? Come on, you all. The weather. We've had a lot to talk about lately. Mate, at Annie and Graham's place, let me tell you, 80 miles an hour winds. It was very interesting. But there's so much to talk about with the weather. But it's something that we all have in common. So we talk about the weather. Hi, how are you? So you see what we're doing? We're getting planked. Now, this is fascinating. It's still not quite strong enough for us to probably walk across. So there's more things. What else might you then talk about? Yeah, exactly. The cricket! Woo! I love talking about the cricket any time, right? But, okay, no, thank you very much. There's always one in every group. The ladies' cricket, thank you. And that's true too, congratulations. But you see, it's sport, isn't it? It's a common thing. What team? Oh, no, you don't like Manchester United, you know, or whatever. Do you mean like? And you might say, I don't follow a team. Well, just try to follow it a little bit because it's a common thing. If you're going to get to know people, you know, and it's great, you know. Okay, I love talking to people in Swanage because not many people are locals. I'll often say, are you a local? And they go, well, I've lived here 50 years, but no, they don't see me as a local, you know. So it's just a way that I try to build a bridge. Now, I don't care how you do it, but it's this whole thing of just slowly building. And it's beautiful because as you begin to build, guess what happens? People suddenly say, you're not religious, are you? That's an interesting moment. It's a jumping on the bridge, isn't it? Because you think, oh, what do I say? Yes, I'm religious. And they go, oh, no. But I, you know what I like to do? I actually say to them, what do you mean by religious? And they go, oh. And they tell me, and I go, oh, no, I'm not that. But I tell you, this is what's important for me. And I just share something of my faith. And I think that's so much better, isn't it, than when, you know, you feel, well, I've got to talk. Look, this is what Jesus does here. We're going to watch how he dances with this lady. But so the first step, the first thing I want to emphasize is that Jesus' first words is to reach out. Just like you picked that I was caring and saying, I think Jesus appreciates this lady. And you remember a response? What does she say? As soon as Jesus asks for a drink of water, rather than saying, I'll get it for you, what does she say? What exactly? What? You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. What are you doing even talking to me? You're breaking the rules. I love it. At some of our festivals, we have ladies with full-on burkas doing, helping us with balloons and dancing the hokey-cokey with us. Yes. You know, and I think, how else will they get to know Jesus if we don't get to know them? You know, not everybody will want to dance and things with burkas. But what it means is that she felt free enough to be herself and to relax, right? And that's what we're trying to do. And this is exactly, all we're doing is what Jesus did. See, to build community, you've got to be intentional. Can I just put that up in big lights? It just doesn't happen. And Jesus knew it just didn't happen. And so what does he do? He thinks, well, he has a lot of wisdom, and you'll see in the moment where he knows a bit more information about this lady. But what is fascinating is in this moment, Jesus knows, he thinks, how do I build a bridge? And he does it beautifully. He asks for a drink of water. She does it. And then the dance begins. Now, Strictly Come Dancing, I do like watching it sometimes, but I always find it fascinating, just hearing behind the scenes, because I'm not much of a dancer, but isn't it true that in the men lead and they actually do things in the back and, you know, turn left, turn right and all, so I'm told. Nobody's nodding because I don't know that means you dance, or maybe they're thinking this guy knows nothing about dancing, which is very true. I don't, but in other words, there needs to be some leadership, and Jesus leads this dance. And you remember in the story, so, you know, so the disciples gone off. Jesus does that, and then Jesus talks to her. It's fascinating. He talks about water, where she won't have to be thirsty, and she says, "Give me this water." And then there's this really interesting moment. I just have to tell a story. Could someone look up 1 John 4:18 to just... John 4:18, just to read out in a moment. Now, friends of mine, remember the old telegrams? You remember telegrams? Some of you younger people, there was life before emails and faxes. And this friend of mine in Australia, he was the guy I thank God for this morning when we were praying. He was the person who led me to Jesus. My old school teacher. He got married and got this telegram. And this person had written 1 John 4:18, you know, perfect love casts out all fear. So he decided, funny this I thought, on that they'd got into their hotel room, they'd read the telegrams first. Interesting, okay. So they got the telegram and they read this. The problem was the one was left off. So he got out his Bible and he read. Could you read it out to us? John 4:18.
"The fact is, you have to have five husbands."
Yeah. His wife looked at him and said, "What do you know that I don't?" And they realised it was really the one. Telegrams weren't always that good. But it is an amazing moment because Jesus tells the woman about this. Let's just have a look. Can we just have a look at, John 4:18. You know, he says to her, you know, he has this knowledge. He says that. And look at her response. She doesn't, even in the way he says this, she doesn't feel guilty. "Oh, no." What does she say? "Gee, I can see you're a prophet," she says, and pretty right. She's pretty right there. You see what she does? The way that Jesus respects her, treats her, and it's just beautiful. And then it's really interesting, verse 19, you know, or verse 20. She says, "Oh, our fathers worship on the mountain, you Jews worship here." And it's a bit like, you know, the biggest red herring out, "Oh, always lead to God." I'm sure you've heard all this before. Jesus listens to her, and then he says something beautiful. He says, "True worship happens in spirit and truth." And he just speaks his heart about what real worship is. And she's there. She's with him. And she follows him. She's on the dance. But then, look at verse 24. "God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and truth." And then she says something, verse 25. She says, "I know that the Messiah called the Christ is coming. And when he comes, he's going to explain everything to us." Ta-da! This is Jesus' moment. Isn't that beautiful? I just wish my conversations always went like this. But isn't this beautiful? Because what does then Jesus say? Oh, I love these words. "I that speak to you am he." Have you ever been in a really beautiful moment and all of a sudden everybody's come back? And that's what's happened in this moment, this beautiful intimate moment where Jesus has just said, "I'm the Messiah." And she believes it. She knows it. Why? Because she's experienced it. She's seen something about this man that was so different to anybody she's ever known before. Sure, he had inside knowledge, but it was more than that. It was the way he loved her. He reached out. He didn't care that she was a questionable woman, that she was a woman, that she was a Samaritan. He saw who she was and he loved her. That's what she responded to. And she could never be the same again. In a moment, let's have a look. But what I want you to observe is the moment the disciples come back, let's have a look. Look what happens. This is fascinating. Yeah, they return, it says in verse 27, they were surprised. They were surprised to find him talking with a woman. And they knew that she was a Samaritan. But then look what happens. No one asked, what do you want or why are you talking with her? But they all thought it. You ever seen that? And in fact, look at the woman's response. She leaves the water jar, she goes back to town. She knew that suddenly she wasn't welcome. Unlike Jesus, unfortunately the disciples didn't sort of pick up in that same vibe, if you like, you know, the same process that they saw with Jesus. They were just questioning and she knew, I don't belong here. But look, because of how Jesus had treated her, look at her response. Oh, this is beautiful. She runs back. Well, she says to people, come, see a man who told me everything. Could this be the Messiah? And what do? They come out of their towns and they made their way towards him. Okay, let me challenge you. If you were to suddenly run down the main street of Swanage saying, I've met the Messiah, I've met the Messiah. Do you think you might be locked up? I don't know. But for this woman, it just flowed from within her. Because she had. And her life could never be the same again. In fact, I know we didn't read it, but let's have a look at just verse 39 to 42. I'll just read this if you've got it there. We can just listen. Many of the Samaritans in the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. Isn't that interesting? They believed because this woman couldn't keep quiet. I've met. This is who he was. He told me everything I ever did. Well, did he tell her everything? No. But that's how it felt for her. Because he saw her. He saw her. He loved her. And she felt he knew everything about her. And then, when the Samaritans came in, what do? They urge him to stay 2 more days. And because of his words, more believed. And they said to the woman, we now no longer believe just because of what you said. We've heard for ourselves. And we know this man really is the Saviour of the world. Yes! Isn't that beautiful? You see, what this is about is Jesus is authentically himself. She feels free to be herself. Jesus dances with her, tells her who he is. Her life's changed. She goes off. She can't stop telling people. All these Samaritans come to faith. It's beautiful. Brothers and sisters, how will they hear if they don't see and hear and know? You know, they need us. God doesn't have a plan B. We're it. You have an opportunity to get to know people, to love them, to help them feel welcome. So the course is important because you need skills to get out. I think that image that person got this morning is right. Come on, guys. You know, it's the first step. It's hard. And it's great we've got a course. You know, and I understand he's encouraging all. I want to encourage you all. Hybels is great because he's doing it. And you're going to have your own story. You know, it was so encouraging. We had to sell our house in Australia because we were really committed to being here. And so went back and the real estate agent I met in our house in Sydney and he said, look, I like to get to know my people, tell me that I'm selling the house, so tell me a bit. And I told him and I just shared what I did. And, you know, he said, well, that's interesting. And he said, tell me more. And I started talking about my faith. And then he said, you know, my whole family's believers, but I'm the black sheep. But I know God's been speaking. And it was the most natural thing to invite him into the kingdom. And it was a lovely moment. I remember we prayed. As soon as we finished praying, his sister rang. He said, you're not going to believe this. He said, I've just become a Christian. And he said, I could hear the scream from his sister. Just then my wife, Jenny, walked in. And he said something like, I've done it or done the deal. And Jen said, have you sold the house already? You know, No. He said, I've become a Christian. But there was something that haunted me afterwards. He said, you know, I've sold quite a few houses around this suburb. He said, I've known a lot of Christians. He said, you can pick it in the houses, you know, the Bible verses around the calendars. He said, I've wanted to talk to people. He said, but they were so busy wanting to sell the house for the best price. He said, I never felt I could ask. But he said, you listen. And I think, you know, sometimes Jesus listened. Listening, maybe, Bonhoeffer says this, may be the greatest gift that you can give someone. Just listen to them. And then people will think, you know everything about me. But you don't, but that's how it's felt, because they've trusted you. Ah, so there you go, I'm finishing. I'm sorry, I've gone a while, I know, but I know this stuff works. And the beautiful thing is, I'm not trying to ask you to drum up, oh, I've got to go and door knock and I should do it. You know, we have all these messages and things, I'm not very good at this. But I'm saying, relax, be you. And just get to know people. Walk across the room, get up, have a go, smile, learn 10 kids' names at your festival, give them high fives, smile until your jaws are sore, whatever. But just show people this love. What does Jesus say? Out of our hearts will flow rivers of living water. They're supposed to pick it up by our body language. You know, on Resurrection Sunday, shouldn't we be the happiest people? You know, that our body language should show this truth that has so changed our lives. I loved your verse when you said, the love of Christ compels me. That's what gets us out there. And, okay, sure, at one level I'm enthusiastic because I know this is what God wants for each of us. There's an opportunity. Pray. My wife and I have been praying for three people in our next door neighbours, and we've become such good friends with them, and a few others, and we're just looking to have places to get them round for a meal. We're doing a street party. You know, we get back and it was amazing. Everybody's just so pleased to see us. We've been away for 2 months and we did a street party, and these people said some angels had moved into our house. Just not how we both see ourselves, but that's because we reached out. The street's talking about us. I don't know what you can do in your street, brothers and sisters, but I wonder if God's asking something of you. Now look, I know I've gone over time, but can I just ask you one last thing? Do you think in just groups of two or three, you could just talk amongst yourself? What, if anything, has been helpful? What do you know you need to do? You know, the danger is you'll clap and, oh, you know, you'll say, oh, that was nice, you're a good preacher or whatever. Well, maybe you won't say that at all, but you know, like, it's not about that, you know. It's about what you do with this. So, okay, this is what I want you to do. I don't want husbands and wives to be together. I just want to split you up a bit, okay? And I want you to just find someone around you and just ask this question, okay, just for a few minutes. What can you do? Sure, there's the course, there's the festival, there's the Christmas opportunities, but what might you need to do in your story? What's God been saying to you as we've been looking at this story, okay? Just for a few minutes, and then I'm going to pray. Okay? Let's do it.